Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Oh, it works. Okay, good. All right. Psalm chapter number 119 in your Bible. Psalm 119. I don't know if I told this here or not, but it's a fun story that I love to tell. I'm not a good joke teller. I have to read mine. Amen. And fella acquired a new parrot. And when he went to get him, the parrot old owner said, "We're, you know, kind of sad to see him go, but it's time for him to move on because, you know, we can't afford to take care of him. That's real expensive, you know, take care of a bird." But anyway, so he got him, and that bird got an attitude because he didn't want to leave. And so Johnny took him home, and when they got home, man, that bird just, he was squawking, he was fussing, he was railing, and Johnny said, "Hush that up, you need to quit acting like that." That bird looked at him and just got hotter and got madder. And so he picked that bird up and kind of shook him a little bit and looked him in the eye and said, "Hey, you need to stop that," I said. "You don't talk like that, man." I mean, he set him on his hand, and he walked up his shoulder and down his arm and back up his shoulder. He was just squawking and taking his feathers and doing that number. Finally, Johnny took him and just took the dude and threw him kind of down on the ground and said, "You got to stop that." And that bird started squawking across the floor. He went over there, he grabbed that bird. He, in frustration, grabbed the freezer, opened it up, threw that bird in there and shut it. Wasn't long. The squawking stopped. Well, old Johnny, he kind of felt bad about that. You all right? Old Johnny felt bad about that, so he walked over there to the freezer and he opened it up. Man, that parrot just stood up nice and straight, walked right out on his arm, right up his shoulder, sat on his shoulder, brother preacher, and said, "Excuse me, sir, I owe you a great apology. It seems that I've had an attitude, and I am so sorry for my attitude." And Johnny, man, he's just shocked. He's about to turn and ask him, say, "What happened to you?" And that parent said, "I just got one question." He said, "What's that?" He said, "What'd the turkey do?"
Yeah.
You all right? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. He's good, isn't he? Did you come to get in or to get out? I got three down here said to get in. Some said I don't know. Some are sighing, and some say I'm tired from work. All right. Well, let's get our Bible. Let's look in the Word of God. Let me give you something. We'll hurry and get done because I'm anxious to hear Brother Renzi preach here in a minute. I'm going to tell you, I fell in love with him last night. Man, what a blessing. The message that he brought to us, and I'm anxious to hear what he has to say. But I want to give you something that I hope will be an encouragement to you. Psalm 119 in your Bibles. Psalm 119, are you there? I was kind of battling over about two or three different ones, and I think this is the direction because I can cut this in kind of quickly and get to the chase and get done here this evening. Look at verse number 81. Would you stand for the reading of the Word of God? You've been sitting for a little bit, so let's stand and read the Word of God together and enjoy ourselves looking at His Word. Psalm 119, look at verse number 81. The Bible says, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, When wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. And all thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth." I want to talk to you just a few moments tonight on this subject, if I may, entitled "The Smoke in the Bottle," or "The Sun is Still Up Tonight." The sun is still up. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd bless us tonight and help us, encourage us through your word, draw us nearer to yourself, help us to see you more clearly in our life. So often it can get to where you're not as visible in our life as you once were. And help us to get back to that place, I pray, oh God. And we'll sure thank you. I pray for that one that may not know you as Savior, that tonight they'd be saved. What a wonderful thing that would be. But Lord, more than anything, revive our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm thinking here in this particular passage of Scripture. I preached through this at our old church where we were there in Sellersburg, and the entire chapter here. And I'm one of those, and if you're not, that's all right. Keep it to yourself. But I'm one of those that believe God's Word has purpose to it. Amen. I believe that every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. I believe that with all my heart. I believe every word. I believe that He said that we're not to mess with one jot nor one tittle of His Word. That has to do with punctuations and the numbering. Amen. I love this book. Now, I'm not just trying to push amen buttons, but that's a good one to say amen on. Amen. I love this book. And I believe that if we'll study it and allow it to work in our heart instead of us trying to correct it, allow it to correct us, it'll do a lot better for our lives. Amen? And with that in mind, we were studying this particular portion of Scripture, and I noticed that each of these sections of Scripture come in sections of eight in Psalms 119. We know Psalm 119 to be the Word of God chapter, don't we? We know it to be centered around God's book. It's a wonderful place for you and I to go every day of our life. We ought not miss our opportunity to get into this book and to read this book, because this book is the book that will encourage us. It's this book that will equip us. It's this book that will educate us. It's this book that will help us to be all that God wants us to be. It's the Word of God, without any doubt. And these come in sections of eight. The number eight in your Bible means the new beginnings. And if you'll think about it, every morning you'll have a new beginning with God if you'll get in His Word. Amen. Your day will be a brand new beginning. You say, boy, yesterday was pretty bad. We'll put that behind you, get in His Word afresh this morning, and you'll have a new beginning. Amen. Hallelujah. I like that all by myself. And so I just think that's wonderful, and this is a wonderful book. Now, as we look in this particular chapter, I got to thinking about this particular section. And truthfully, Brother Gilmore, Pastor, it was when we were coming up here some years ago. You were allowing us to come up and do your Bible school for a while. Man, it was a great time. I enjoyed that. I had a lot of good time, Brother Harry. Amen. In the Bible school and so on. Of course, he's a nut. And that made it even nuttier. But it was a good time. Enjoyed ourselves. And so most of the years we drove up here, the years that we got to come. But there was one year that Brother Gilmore called me. He said, why don't we fly you out here? Do you remember that? And I said, okay, let's do that. He said, do you mind flying? I said, oh no, I love flying. In fact, I enjoy flying. And I'm going to tell you why I enjoy flying. Because when you get in that plane and you take off, here's what it does for me. It helps me to get a little bit of God's perspective of us. See, he's not looking at your bigness that impresses him. Because we are nothing but dust in His sight. Amen. We're nothing but just a small speck. And boy, you take off on a plane, and as you begin to rise up through the air, look out that window, Brother Holtzclaw, and you look out things that were real huge and big. Maybe on a roadway, a semi looks mighty big, but in a plane, it looks like one of them little big old toy trucks, you know, Tonka trucks or whatever. And things get mighty small. And you know, that's God's perspective. Get a hold of this. No matter what your problems are, no matter how big they are, we need to get God's perspective on them. That's good preaching, amen. We need to get God's perspective. You know what God's perspective is? They're nothing to Him, amen. He can help us with our situation. So I enjoy flying because I enjoy looking out and seeing the world from God's perspective. But this particular day that we took off, I got up that morning and I heard familiar sound upon our roof. It was the sound of raindrops. Oh, yes, that's exactly what I said. Oh, man, because I'm going to tell you, when you fly in rain, it's not as easy to see things around. It's gray, skies everywhere. Now, I want you to stay with me. I got to get down here where you are, so just bear with me, all right? But just stay with me. You think of gray skies all around. And I remember boarding that plane that particular day, getting to my seat, and I always requested a window seat, because if I'm going to go down, I want to see where I'm going down to, amen, before I hit there, so at least I can die of a heart attack before I die of squash or whatever. But anyway, and so I was by my window seat, and, you know, we began to take off. The captain came over the intercom and he said, "Hey, look, today we're going to be flying. It's going to be gray skies. It's going to be raining and everything, but we want you to be comfortable and enjoy your trip." And so sure enough, we took off. As we took off coming here to Easton, Pennsylvania, of course, we were flying in, if I remember, to Philadelphia, but nonetheless, we were flying, and as we were going through the air, you know, they give them permission to fly at certain altitudes. You with me? And so as we were flying along, man, I'm telling you, all of the sudden that plane began to do gyrations that I know a plane is not supposed to do. Anybody else identify with me here? Yeah, it started doing some gyrations that I know that plane's not supposed to do. It began to do some of this stuff, and so and up, and boy, it began to bounce. And man, everybody in the captain began to go, "Oh, oh, oh, oh." People began to confess their sins to the priest. No, I'm just kidding. They get that bad. But I'm telling you, people got real nervous that particular time. And I'll never forget, as people who were on board that flight, Brother Renzi, as they were on board that flight, here's what happened. The captain, he come over the intercom and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I guess you can notice that we are encountering some turbulence." And everyone in the cabin said, "Turbulence? We thought you were hitting walls, man, bouncing us like one of them balls, you know, bing, 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 around in a toy machine." And the captain said, "But we don't want you to be alarmed. I've got the fasten your seatbelt sign on. You can still go to the restroom, but please, when you're in your seat, be seated." He said, "I've radioed back." Now, listen to me. He said, "I've radioed back to the tower, and they've given me permission to take our flight to a new altitude, to a new height." And he went off the air saying this, "I just want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the sun is still shining up there." Well, I'm going to tell you something. That's easy for the captain to say. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. I'm a passenger in his plane. That's, come on, that's easy for him to say. The sun's still shining up there, and I'm in the midst of all of these gray clouds around, rain's coming down, the plane's been shaking here and there, but all of a sudden, are you listening to me? He took that plane, and you could almost feel it, began to rise. And that plane began to rise, and guess what? It wasn't long. She broke through those gray clouds. Oh, I'm getting excited here just a minute. He broke through those gray clouds. You know what? He broke out, and guess what? The sun was as bright as the noonday. Man, I'm telling you, it was gorgeous up there. You looked out your window, you could see all those white fluffy clouds. It looked like you could get out and walk on cotton. It was glorious. Man, I'm telling you, everybody in the whole cabin sighed a sigh of relief and said, "Whoa, this is good. This is great." And she leveled off in smooth sailing. I got to thinking, you know, sometimes in my life, there's been some gray skies. Yes, sir. There's been some times when the old vessel was getting shaken around pretty good, doing things that it wasn't made to do. Come on. Anybody else identifying? And I've been in those gray situations in my life. And every time, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God has helped me to see that the S-O-N... He's still up there, amen. He's still on the throne. He's still in charge. Amen. He can still take care of your problems. And here's what blessed my heart is, ladies and gentlemen, every time when it begins to get a little nervous, I'll hear the Master say, "Trust me now, everything's okay." You say, "How can I trust him?" Because, hey, he has the instrument. He has the instrument, amen, that tells us everything's going to be okay. And not only does he have the manual, so to speak, he also has himself. He's the master of every situation in our life. And you say, "Preacher, you're in a long ways to get through all of that." I'm going to tell you why. Because here in this passage, this is exactly what is happening in David's life. Look back in your text with me, please. Psalm 119, the wind's been blowing, hasn't it? Verse number 81. He says, my soul fainteth for thy salvation. He said, mine eyes fail for thy word. For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. You say, why is it, preacher, that it sometimes the gray skies began to surround us and we lose visibility of the Master? Here's three reasons. Number one, because of the uncertain silence of the Master. You know, sometimes God just gets quiet. Help me. Sometimes you're calling out to Him and you're not hearing anything. Sometimes you're talking to Him and He's not talking back. But may I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, every time that you have God silent in your life as a believer, you can lay hold to His promise. He has not forgotten you. And when He is silent, He is working on your behalf. And He is going to be the one who's going to help you through those gray skies. And you're once again going to be able to hear His voice. You're going to be able to see Him again, like you once saw him. Amen. The uncertain silence of the Master sometimes. But then number two, I want to say this. Sometimes those gray skies come because the usefulness for service is not as meaningful. What do you mean? Have you ever served? Well, let's just say it this way. Tonight we came to church. We started singing. I'm going to be honest. How about you? Will you be honest for a minute? Help me, come. You're a Baptist church, aren't you? Afraid to say something. We came to church tonight, and I watched Brother Holtzclaw. He worked real hard to try to get people motivated in the service tonight. You know what I'm saying? It's not maybe tonight starting off like it started off last night. It's not starting off maybe like I wasn't here Monday, Tuesday night. But maybe it's not starting off. The usefulness for service is not as meaningful tonight. Maybe it's because we've got our mind on other things. Maybe it's because we've got some burden that no one else knows about. But I'm here to say sometimes when you're doing the work for God, there's times when people are getting saved. And man, the joy of God is flowing through your brains and through your heart. It ought to be flowing through your brains too, but flowing through your heart. And man, the joy bells are just ringing, and they're ringing, and they're ringing. There's sometimes you sit there and you go, what's going on? Come on. How do you know that, preacher? Look at verse number 83. Look what it says. He says, for I am become like a bottle in the smoke. You know what he's saying? He's saying exactly what I just told you. The usefulness just doesn't seem as meaningful. The joy is just not there that used to be there. See, back in this day and time, they'd use bottles that they'd tie around their neck that were made out of animal skins. They'd have a cork that would cover it, and they'd put their substance, whatever it was that they were carrying for nourishment or for refreshment, they'd put in that bottle. Are you listening to me? And as they would go to war, they would depend on that substance to nourish them, to refresh them as they were going into battle and as they were fighting the battle. But sometimes, listen, watch this, sometimes because of the smoke would begin to infiltrate that bottle, and the water would become smoky tasting. You ever tasted water that had smoke in it? Doesn't taste very good. And the usefulness that was there is not as prevalent as it was before. Come on, watch this. Sometimes the smoke, the situations of our life begin to pound upon us in such a way that which is on the outside is trying to infect that which is on the inside. And so therefore, we don't have that joy of the Spirit like we're supposed to have. We don't have that rejoicing. We don't have that love. We don't have that compassion like we're supposed to have. That which is on the outside has negatively influenced that which is on the inside. And that's what Satan wants to do in your life. He wants to influence what you have on the inside. Look, so that it won't reveal itself on the outside. You know why? Because if what you've got on the, if you're saved, if you're born again, what you got on the inside, when it starts showing on the outside, it affects other people. So he wants to quiet that. Hence, the smoke in the bottle, or surrounding the bottle. So we have the usefulness for service. I've got to hurry here. I'm moving maybe a little too slow. Look at number three, I would like to say. We see the unrelentless stones of our menace. I don't know about you, but I get tired of Satan pounding us. I am looking forward to the day when Satan gets his just dues. Can somebody say amen there? Can, how did Brother Renzi say it? Can I get some help? Something like that. How did he say it last night? Can I get a witness on that? Huh? I'm getting tired of how Satan pelts my life, and he pelts my life, and he pelts my life, and he pelts. The unrelentless stones sometimes can cause gray areas to come over our life so that we can't see the Lord like we're supposed to see the Lord. We get focused on the problems that keep pounding us, keep pelting us, and so therefore we don't see Jesus like we need to see Jesus. And the whole purpose of this particular passage, David saying, you need to get back to seeing the sun. He's still shining in your life. Don't get focused down here. Stay focused up there. That's what he's trying to say for us. Now watch this. So hear what David determines. Number one, verse number 80, he said, I'm going to stay faithful. It's not time to quit. It's not time to throw in the towel right now. It's time to keep on going for God. Look what he says. He says it right there in his word. He said, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. I don't know how all of this is going to work out. I don't know how we're going to get through this thing. But one thing's for sure, I know that God's word is true. I know that God is true. I have hope. Amen. I have hope in his word. I'm trusting in his word. He said, I'm going to stay faithful to his word. I'm going to keep reading. I'm going to keep loving. I'm going to keep living. I'm going to keep going on for God. It's not time to stop what helps me. It's time to get more of what helps me. He said, I'm going to stay faithful. Number two, he said, I'm not going to forget. Buddy, I'm telling you, I got to hurry. This gets me excited. Hey, there's stairs over here too. Glory to God. Whoops. Man alive. Hang on a second. We got a clear path here. Can we do that? Now we can get through there. Yes. The plane's about to take off. Amen. He said, I'm not going to forget. What do you mean? Look at verse number 83. He said, for I become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. You know what he's trying to say? He's trying to say, God's been good to me. God's been faithful to me. Come on, help me. God saved me. God changed my life. God gave me a life. God gave me a family. God gave, Hey, he's done all of this. God's been good to me. And I'm not about to go and forget about how good God has been. And you know what those gray areas are designed to do? They're designed to get you to forget the goodness of God in your life. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, you know what the Lord said? He said, beware lest thou forget the Lord. You know what we do when we have bad times? We're guilty of forgetting the Lord. His goodness in our life. You say, well, it's been a while since he's been good to me. Well, maybe you ought to get to know him a little better and find out he's still good. He still has not forgotten you. Amen. He's good. He's good. Yes, he is. He is good. He said, I'm not going to forget his goodness. Look at verse number 87. He goes on to say, thou, or they had almost consumed me upon earth. Okay, by the way, stop just a second. Do you know that the best the devil can do to you is almost? Amen. Everything God does is more, much, better, good, great, gracious. But the best the devil can do to you is almost. He had almost consumed me, but he didn't get the job. I like that, amen. Hey, he tries his best, but greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. We need to understand something, ladies and gentlemen. We have a great God. We have a good God. We need to trust him in our life. And David says, I'm going to be faithful. I'm not going to forget, and I certainly am not going to forsake him now. Now, all of that to say this, how can I have the attitude that David had in all of this? How? Well, what's the key? He gives it to us. I got three things for you, and the mule's liable to get loose. Hey, man, if your mule don't get loose, I don't mean you got to run and shout. But if something doesn't happen in your heart here in just a minute, something wrong with your heart. Amen. David's going to give us some keys on how we can see that the S-O-N is still shining in our life. Number one, hang on to this, verse number 81. Look what he says again. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. You know what he's saying? I'm going to keep writing the promises of God. I'll not turn my back on him now. He's given to me everything I have. He gave me my first breath, so I'll give him my last. I'll not turn my back on him now. You know why? I'm going to write his promises. No matter what's happening in my life, no matter what's going on in my life, I know one thing's for sure. God's word is true. The preacher said it's the compass. It's the very foundation. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? But I'm telling you, we can do something. Why? Because the foundation has not been destroyed. Amen. God's promises are true. Yes. Say, how do you know that? How do you get this right, the promises? I'm glad you asked. Go to Acts chapter 27. I'm about to have a good time here. Acts chapter number 27. And you'll just have to forgive me. I enjoy myself, whether I'm sitting down there, whether I'm walking around or whether I'm up there. I've just chosen, I'm going to enjoy myself and have a good time. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Yeah. Amen. Because that book's real. January the 16th, 1985, Jesus Christ changed my life. He saved me. He didn't just save me part of the way. He didn't just save me a third of the way. He didn't save me. He saved me completely. He changed my life. I put my faith in that book, and I'm going to keep putting my faith in that book. Acts chapter number 27. Here's what you have. You have, in short, a storm. And this storm is the result of some people who would not listen to the man of God. Okay, only my boy said that's right. So that means somebody needs this. You better be careful what you do in regards to listening to the man of God. They that believe his prophets shall prosper. The opposite is true. If you do not have respect to the man of God, then you will not prosper. I want to prosper. Amen. So listen to the man of God. That was free. They didn't listen. So here they are, they set sail, and they get out and they encounter what is called a Eurocladin. A Eurocladin, listen, is a storm that blows from every direction at the same time. They're right in the middle of this storm, and fear grips their heart. They're beginning, you know there's a problem on a boat when men start throwing food overboard. I figured you ladies would at least say, amen. Yeah, we men, they say you reach a man through his gut, you reach a woman through her heart, amen. But us men, you cook good for us, you got us, amen. By the way, I want to say this. I don't know where you are, lady, but God bless you for that food tonight. Whoa, it was good tonight. Hallelujah. I'm a bigger man, haven't eaten here. Amen. But anyway, back to what I was saying. Here's what I'm talking about. Men are beginning to throw their wares. Or they're throwing food overboard. They're trying to lighten the ship. They're trying to make it through this problem on their own way. But David didn't say, I will not forget how to make my way through the storm my own way. He said, no, I hope in thy word. Amen. Amen. So Paul steps out, and he's a good Baptist preacher. He steps out and he grabs that mess. He says, hey boys, what's going on? You should have listened to me. Well, how dare that man of God? He's so egotistical. No, he's just right. He's right. He grabs that mass. He says, be of good cheer, for I have heard from the Lord tonight. You know what he's saying? The word of God has been given, and I'm putting my hope in the word of God. This storm is blowing wildly. It's getting rough out here, but I'm here to tell you, hallelujah to God. I've got faith in what God said. Now, if you'll read that chapter down, Paul tells them about what God's going to do, that everybody's going to live. In verse number 30 and 31, there's some who get this idea still that they've got to help God out. And they start lowering down the boats. And Paul says this, he said, hey, whoa, 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 listen, except every man, get hold of this, abide where? In the ship. Everybody's going to die. Is that what he says? So where is the promise of God here for their life? Come on, help me, Brother Renzi. Where at?
In the ship.
In the ship. So they're in the ship. Now, at a certain point of in the storm, everybody's eating a little bit, everybody's happy, their bellies are full, and all of a sudden the storm begins to shake that ship, and it looks like the promise is coming apart. Sometimes you got to reach over here and grab that piece of the ship. And sometimes you got to go over here and grab this piece of the ship. But rest assured, they all made it safely to land. How'd they make it safely to land, brother? By pieces of the ship. They rode the promises of God to safety. You ride God's promises, you'll make it safe to land too. Amen. That'll work. Now I'm going to cut to the chase, get to number two. Not only do we ride his promises, number two, in this chapter you'll find out that David says we need to rest in his peace. How can you have peace in a plane when it's being gyrated like it's not supposed to be gyrated? Because you heard the voice of the captain. Nobody else gonna enjoy that. Man, I'm telling you, whew, the cabin went silent. And when the plane broke through, whoo, there was rejoicing. There was peace. Woo! There was rejoicing. And I'm telling you, if you'll rest in the peace of God in your life, there will be peace. Woo! There'll be rejoicing in your life. Why? Because God is still in control.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Kings, I gotta hurry. Preacher, am I too long? If I am, tell me. Am I all right? I've only got one more thing to say after this. Well, one more point. I gotta follow preacher. I hear you, but I gotta follow him. Listen to this. There's a Shunammite woman. And this Shunammite woman has prepared a place. We'll just cut the story. A place for the man of God to come by and stay. She has respect and regard for the man of God in her life. Still on that. It's biblical. And so the man of God comes by and stays here, and he begins to wonder, what can we do for this woman? She has been so good to us. And so he prays to God. And God says, I won't have a child. So you go out there, the word of the captain. You go out there and you say, you're going to have a child. So he goes out and he says, the Lord said, you're going to have a child. Wow. I've tried and tried. And it just hasn't happened. But the Lord said, and guess what? In fact, she goes on to say, not so, my Lord. Don't say that, because we are worried. But God said, okay, God said, I got it. She has a child. That child is weaned. That child goes to the workplace with daddy. That's a good thing for boys and girls both to learn, to work. Boy, I can see that went over like a lead balloon. But he went to work with daddy. In the field, and the boy dies. Now watch this carefully. Daddy sends that boy home, and mama now has had a promise from God, you're going to have a son. And she's had a son. Now her promise is dead. How about that one? So what are you going to do? Oh, boy. Better get down to the store and read some Rolaids. I got to get through this one. Get them down, man, to get some peace in my heart. No, she didn't trust in her Rolaids. She didn't start biting her nails. She said, honey, I'm going to the man of God. Well, why are you going to the man of God for? Well, you're going to trouble him. He's dead. Because I'm going to the man of God. Okay, dear, I got it. They got her a donkey and off she went. Now get this. While she is a great way off, are you listening to me? The man of God sees her and says, Gehazi, find out if she's doing all right. That's that Shunammite woman. And they say, is all well? What's the answer? No, my son's dead. He's died. You promised. Is that the response? No, here's what she says. All's well. Her boy's laying dead back there at home, but she's resting in the peace of God. You know why? She had God's word. She knew that God had given her that son. And if God had given her a son and desired to take that son away, then God was going to give something back. And she looked at that boy and she said, I'm going to the man of God. And she said, everything's all right. Everything's all right. And man, the man of God came back and raised that boy back to life. Why? Because there's a woman who rode the promises of God and rested in the peace of God. Am I making sense? Am I right or wrong? Last and I'm done. Recharge with His power. I've got one of them stupid iPhones. You say, I thought that was a smartphone. Only if you're smart and know how to run it. I got a dumb iPhone. I tell you something about the owner. But as smart as that thing is, I still have to take that sucker and plug it in just about every night. You know why? Because it drains. Beloved, here's what I'm trying to say to you. Every night, though we were made in the image of God, though we were redeemed by His precious blood, every night We need to get re-plugged in to the power source of God. Amen. Back into His Word. Back into His Spirit. Amen. Back in on our knees before God. We must get recharged again. Amen. Why? Because the power has dwindled away. Story and I'm done. Stephen was a deacon. I have a lot more I can say about it. His first assignment from God was, go preach to those people who hate me. And Stephen said, yes, Lord. And he heads to the street and he begins to preach the word of God. And they get mad. And they get so mad that they come upon him and gnash on him with their teeth. Can I ask you a question? Have you had a problem like that so bad that people were gnashing on you with their teeth? Gnashing on him with their teeth. They got so mad that the gray clouds began to circle around him. And right now, Brother Enzi, I'm sure that Stephen would have said, here's a good time to change my standards. I said, here's a good time to change my standards. Here's a good time to change the Bible, maybe, that I'm using. Here's a good time to change my music program. Oh no, Stephen said it's still time to stay true to God. The clouds circle him. He can't see Jesus like he was seeing Jesus. Those stones begin to pelt his life away. But if you'll read your Bible, as Stephen lays a dying, the Bible says, and he being full of the Holy Ghost, right, looked steadfast through those gray clouds. What did he see? He saw the Son of God standing, welcoming him home. I'm saying, hey, recharge with his power. The Holy Spirit of God will help you to find Jesus again. Why? Because the sun's still up. Preacher. May I take this water?